Our text is the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Then if you'll look at questions 65 and 66 with me in our shorter catechism, it's our consideration this evening. What is forbidden in the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment forbiddeth the neglecting of or doing anything against the honor and duty which belongeth to everyone in their several places and relations. Question 66, what is the reason annexed to the fifth commandment? The reason annexed to the fifth commandment is a promise of long life and prosperity as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good to all such as keep this commandment. Brothers and sisters in Christ, tonight we come to the second half of our study of the fifth commandment. And I would remind you that as we looked at the fifth commandment before, we looked at it under the rubric of two items or two points in our outline, and that was honor and authority. Honor and authority. And then we began to look at some of the application, and that's what we hope to do this evening, look at mostly the application of this commandment to the areas that question 64 in the catechism spelled out, to those individuals that are named there as superiors, inferiors, or equals. And I remind you that those are listed there in the Westminster Shorter Catechism as summaries of relationships. We touched on some of them. You remember I mentioned relationships of husband and wife, relationships of parents and children, and masters and slaves, as we find that in the fifth chapter of Ephesians. We'll see some of that again as we look at the catechism and its application of the commandment, how we apply the fifth commandment. And it'll be somewhat different this evening as we look at this, because it's largely all application that we're going to look at as we contemplate these three categories of individuals as they are listed in that question. And if you would take time, not now, but sometime when you have the opportunity, because you have this book, look at the larger catechism, question and answer 126 to 130, where you'll find page after page after page of extensive application, much more so than you find in the shorter catechism. I guess that's why they call it the larger catechism. But there's an extensive coverage there with a great deal of scripture texts. And if you really would like to take some time in doing that, I would encourage you to do that, because it's a great way to study what the scripture teaches in this select area. And the catechism is an excellent tool to do that with. But the catechism is going to ask us the question, what's forbidden in the fifth commandment, question 65. And what I've done in answer to that question is to lift from the larger catechism some, not all, because there are just too many, some of these relationships that are mentioned in the larger catechism at great length, and I'm going to highlight those this evening. And the first one of those is the sin of neglecting the duties required of inferiors. Now that may sound like somewhat different language, because we don't talk about people being superiors and inferiors, but remember, when the catechism uses superiors and inferiors, it's simply talking about the relationships that exist between husband, wife, parent, and child, or master and slave, and if we would translate master and slave into our own language today, employer and employee. So we'll think of it in those terms. The sin of neglecting the duties required of someone in that relationship, neglect. And one of the texts that's used, and there are many others, and I encourage you again to look at the larger catechism in its list of those texts, study those texts, but it selects Matthew 15, 4 through 6, where it says this, God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God. Remember, we looked at that from Mark's gospel the last time Jesus condemned that. They called that Corban, and they set aside a gift and said it was for God, so I can't use that gift to support you as my parents. That's neglecting the duty. Jesus singled that out, neglecting the duty that the inferior, in this case, the children have toward their parents. And notice what Jesus says, not only in Mark, as we looked at it the last time, but here in Matthew's gospel. He says that if you do that, you do that for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. And it's very clear that he links that to breaking the fifth commandment. That's one of the examples of the neglect of duties required of children to their parents. And there are many, many other scriptures of which we could look at, such as Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. I'm pretty sure that that might have been quoted to me at one time by my superiors, parents. But there are scriptures full of those admonitions, full of those warnings, full of those words that warn children about dishonoring their parents, cursing their parents. Child that curses their parents came under the death penalty under the Old Testament. Children who are disobedient, unteachableness, and refusal to heed or to hear the instruction. And it also applies in that relationship of servants and masters, or employers and employees, when someone who is the inferior in that relationship is unwilling to obey what is lawfully required of them, such as in an employment situation, simply doing your job. Or when someone in a relationship like that reviles, speaks ill of those who are in authority, defrauds the employer of time and talent, or is discontent with their position or angry at those who are over them. All of these things come against this fifth commandment as a way of breaking the fifth commandment, because it breaks the commandment that requires us to honor those that are in authority, particularly those that are in authority over us. The sin of rebellion against those who are in authority or in an authoritative position is listed. And that's listed separately in the larger catechism, and I would refer you to it for further study. But one of the texts that the larger catechism picks out for this particular sin against the fifth commandment, rebellion against superiors, has to do with a stubborn and a rebellious son. Deuteronomy 21, 18 to 21 says, if a man has a rebellious and a stubborn son who will not obey the voice of his father and the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard, then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So shall you purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. The law was specific in this regard because this was the sin of breaking the fifth commandment. Rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, it says in another place. And you can find many such texts. There is the sin of mocking superiors, mocking them who are over us. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be plucked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. We quoted that a moment ago. We could list verse after verse after verse, particularly found in the Proverbs, because there in the Proverbs, Solomon is giving instruction in living and applying that instruction to all kinds of circumstances. Here, applying it to those who would mock one's superior. And you can not only take that from the relationship of children who would mock a parent, but you can take that into all other relationships. Wherever it's found, the application of it is this: it's a breaking of the fifth commandment, which calls us to honor those that are in authority, because of course God put them in that place of authority. Perhaps we could even come to the point where we see this principle and apply it even in our own day to the way in which we go at politics. Wouldn't that have been an astounding turnabout and change in these recent months if that were applied to politics, where we would not have the mocking and we would not have the dishonor, but we would go about things more honorably as God's word calls us to? At least for Christians, it should be that we do not mock those that are in authority, because God has placed them there. We are not God. We have no role in which we may look down upon those that are in authority and do the kinds of things that we see all over the television news and many other places. We are called to respect those that are in authority. In fact, we are called to pray for the king and those that are in authority, and that I think applies across the board to all of those that God has placed in authority over us, because of course it's God that put them there. Whether we think it's our vote that might have turned the turnstile and got them in office or not, the scripture is clear, Romans 13, the powers that be are ordained of God. When God ordains it, it will be so. The powers that be have been placed by God to rule over us, and he therefore attaches authority to them that must be honored. And so the mocking or the rebellion against those that are in authority is an application of this fifth commandment, where those who do so have been guilty of breaking it. Fourthly, the sin of neglecting the duties that are required of superiors. We often look at it as the parent and the child, and you know, the child is bad and so on and so forth, and there are many texts. But there are other texts that go the other direction, and that was that group that is summarily called the superiors. All right, what is that sin? Well, one of the texts that we find in this relationship where the sin of the fifth commandment is very evident is Ezekiel 34. It says in Ezekiel 34, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." These were the leaders, shepherds of Israel, the leaders. "Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves." And I read that now and it just rings a bell, having just read the newspaper and its record today and its record yesterday of politicians who were feeding themselves with bribes. So the indictment says, several of the highest politicians of Lake County were recently indicted by the government for taking thousands of dollars in bribes. They are supposed to be in a position of authority and not misuse that authority. If that's the case, we'll find out when the courts decide. But here the Lord is the ultimate court, and he's decided that the shepherds were not faithful. He not only indicts them, he condemns them and says, "Thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep?" And the implication is that that's not what you're doing. And he spells it out, verse 3. "You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." He's speaking to the shepherds, the pastors, the elders, and saying, "You have misused your role, your position. You have neglected the duties required of you." And God's judgment came upon them. If you read the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, you'll see where the prophet goes on. And the Lord, through the prophet, says to them, "I'm going to replace you. I am going to shepherd my sheep." And he sends the great shepherd, ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. Because these underlings were not faithful, and they are condemned. We see the same in the area of parents with children. Parents are not perfect, and in many ways they neglect their duties by lack of a genuine love and affection, or spoiling someone, giving in to their children instead of discipline in the Lord, neglecting their souls, failing to instruct and to admonish them, or being unreasonable with them and even cruel. So often I have seen people, as I've mentioned before, who when it comes through to the preaching of the word, and they know that if there's going to be a Father's Day message, or there's going to be a message on the fifth commandment where it says honor your father and your mother, and some have had fathers that have beaten them, molested them, hurt them, terribly sinned against them. It's very difficult for someone to sit under the ministry of the word to hear honor your father and your mother when that would in their mind cause them to have to honor someone who is so cruel, unreasonable, and yes, even so sinful as to do such things that are mentioned, and even much more. Parents have neglected their duties. Employers have neglected their employees, perhaps with unreasonable demands, ruling over them with severity, threatening them, withholding wages and the necessities that employees must have. Paul, of course, speaks of the master-slave relationship. For us, that relationship has not such good overtones, so it's better for us to understand it in terms of employer-employees. But the relationships exist. And in those relationships, those who are superior, that is the employer, the parent, and so on, they are to govern and carry out their responsibilities biblically. And if they fail, they're breaking this fifth commandment. Then there is the sin of superiors who seek their own glory, ease, profit, and pleasure. Sounds to me like he's talking about politicians, and in fact, that's what Deuteronomy 17 is talking about, the highest politician of the land. In Deuteronomy 17:17, it says about the king, he shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold. Would it have been much better if Solomon had heeded that verse? He shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. Well, Solomon acquired many wives, did he not? I think if you take concubines and wives and put them all together as one, they add up to 1,000. I don't know how that ever could be accomplished, but it tells us that because of those wives, those foreign wives, who with their foreign religion turned Solomon's heart away. And the warning was here: don't do this, lest your heart turn away. And he shall acquire for himself excessive silver and gold. That was the case with Solomon as well. Here was the warning of the word of God, because the sin of a superior against this commandment, the authority that they have, is misused for their own glory, ease, profit, and pleasure. And we have the politicians that we see today already described by the politicians and the kings of Egypt and the kings of Israel in the time of the prophets and in the time of the kings, who sinned in this area against the fifth commandment. A sixth way of breaking this commandment, as we look at our confession and catechism, it says the sin of superiors who command unlawful actions. And we find that true not only in Daniel's day. Daniel was brought in to Babylon, and in Babylon he and his fellow Hebrews were called upon to bow down to the image of King Nebuchadnezzar. It was an unlawful command. Then if you turn to the New Testament, we've seen it already in our study in the book of Acts recently. You remember that the Apostle Peter and John both were brought in, and they were warned in these words from Acts 4, in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak to no one about this name, that is, about Jesus. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. In other words, they said, you preachers, you Christians, you have to stop talking about Jesus. And of course, we know what the answer was. The Apostle Peter said that it's better to obey God than man. He disobeyed an unlawful action, because that unlawful action, by its very nature, breaks the fifth commandment. It's breaking the authority that God has vested in that person, And it misuses that authority for purposes that are contrary to God's word. I think we could apply that somewhat, although there is a great deal that we can apply from the seventh commandment, thou shalt not kill, to the area of abortion. But think of it in those words too. Abortion is a legal action, but is it right for hospital administration to force a nurse or someone in the medical field to participate in it? I think that's an unlawful action in light of the word of God. It may require them to face the consequences of an unbelieving organization that says, because you didn't listen to our order to participate in this, you'll lose your job. But if they're going to stand for Christ and for the law of God, I believe they need to stand for what God's word teaches, and it's clear the word of God says you shall not kill. Superiors who demand unlawful actions, whether it's stop preaching, that's contrary to God's word, bow down to an image, take the life of this innocent unborn. Are there any Jews hiding in your home? Because we as the German army are here to come and collect them and take them away. I think that everyone must agree that the lawful authority is God's word, not the word of those who break God's law and his lawful authority and bend it to suit their own will. The sin of superiors who command unlawful actions violates the fifth commandment. And then seventhly, the sin of superiors who dishonor themselves or lessen their authority by unjust, indiscreet, rigorous, or remiss behavior. Now that's a mouthful, but you'll find that phrase, so you don't have to write it down as fast as you possibly can write, in your Westminster Larger Catechism. The sin of superiors who dishonor themselves by actions that are unlawful, unjust, behavior that God forbids. 1 Samuel 2 is one example. There are many others. Why then do you scorn my sacrifices and my offerings that I commanded for my dwelling, and honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves on the choicest parts of every offering of my people Israel? Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. God took away the blessing of those who honored themselves and by the kind of behavior that is truly dishonoring. In other words, the fact is that God will not bless the disobedience that violates his law. It is exemplified in those who treat their fellow man with contempt or disdain, those in authority and others. Another sin of superiors is when those who are in authority exact severe and unmerciful labor beyond what is reasonable for those that labor for them. Think for a moment of what the Egyptians did to the Israelites. The taskmasters commanded the Israelites to make bricks without straw. Not only did they do that, but it says in Scripture that they beat them and dealt severely with them because they could not fulfill their unreasonable exactions or their unreasonable commands. Taking advantage of the poor, unreasonable punishments, a parent toward a child. All of these are ways in which when we do these things, we dishonor ourselves because we dishonor the commandment that God has set forth, in which we are to hold forth the honor and the authority of those that are in authority, and we are to maintain that, and we are to live in the light of that truth. God gave us his law for us to live by it. These commandments and the application of them to our lives are given so that we may know and that we may learn how to live for God's glory. And if we don't live by the word of God, we're not living for God's glory. We can't be living for God's glory because we're fishing it out of our own minds, and that is, to use one of the words that are current today, the swamp or the cesspool of sin, because our sinful nature is such that we are in rebellion against God by nature. And if we're thinking that it's going to come out of our minds and our thinking that we're going to live and God's going to be happy with that and glorified, we're sadly mistaken. God has given us his word, God has given us his truth, and he tells us that we are to live by it. Having redeemed us by his son's blood and made us his own, we are to live for the glory of God, and he's given us this instruction to guide us in holy living in covenant with him and Christ by grace and by grace alone. And so the call of these commandments and our understanding of them and the study of them as we go through it is simply this. We're to live under God's authority, which is an absolute authority. We looked at that in the first part of this fifth commandment. The authority of those that God has placed in authority over us, and the authority in the home and such. That's authority, and it's true, but God is the absolute authority. There is no other. And we are able by his grace to live under that authority by the guidance his word gives us, so that we may live for him, that we may glorify him, and that we may enjoy him forever. That should be the heart's desire of each of those of us that claim to know Jesus Christ. Is it our heart's desire that we live under God's authority for the sole purpose of glorifying him in every relationship, wherever we find ourselves, inferior, superior, or equal, in all of these relationships, to keep the honor that God has placed within that realm in which we find ourselves, so that by doing so, God is glorified now as he will be forever. That should be the desire of our hearts. May it be so for the glory of Christ. Amen.